Good morning, royal family.
Good morning.
It's hard to say when it's actually 8:45 at night, but this is fun to be here. I want to thank Rory for the opportunity, and the pressure around it was good to have. Let's shift our minds away from the issues of life and focus on the message from God the Holy Spirit. We come to Bible study for renewing, to allow God the Holy Spirit to guide us by truth in the Word of God, so we can know the plan of God the Father, the compassion of His Son, and the amazing sacrifice of the uniquely born one, the Lord Jesus Christ, on behalf of us all. We come here because we know we don't have to clean up our sins and work to better ourselves. We know God does all the work from salvation on the cross to the renovation of our soul. Our free will gives us tremendous power, and when we decide to be obedient to the plan of God, that power becomes divine. The fact that you're watching and listening shows that you want to take full advantage of your position in Christ. We hear John 3:36 all the time. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. But how many of you have looked at the context of that verse? Because if you look one verse before in John 3:35, you can see the power we have being in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. God the Father gives the Lord Jesus Christ what? All. Since you're here taking in the Word of God, you're aware that we have the Spirit, not by measure as the disciples, but in all fullness. God gives all of Himself to the believer. So as we hear the opening song, dwell on the many provisions from God, especially the Holy Spirit, and put the pressures of life aside. Cast your fears on the Lord, because I know the plans He has for you, plans for happiness and not disaster, to give you a bright future full of hope. Be occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy the singing of His praises as we try to get a heart like God, A Heart That Forgives, by Kevin LeVar.
I want a heart that forgives, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil with goodness and love, like it never happened, never holding a grudge. I want a heart that forgives, that lives and lets live, one that keeps loving over and over again, one that men can offend because your word is within. One that loves without price like you, Lord Jesus Christ. One a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. One a love like you, be like you, just like you did. One a heart that forgives. When the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most, I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurting. I want a heart that forgives when the pain is so deep, it's so hard to speak about it to anyone, just like your Son. I give up my right to hold it against them with hatred inside. I want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. I want a love like and be like and just like indeed. I want to walk like and talk like. Because a heart that forgives is the heart that will live. Totally free from the pain of the past. And the heart that lets go is the heart that will know so much freedom. Lord, I want to let it go.
Hey, hallelujah.
God, I need to let it go. Lord, it's been hard. Here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for this opportunity to speak from my pastor's pulpit. Thank you for the chance to see through your eyes and through the eyes of my pastor. I have a whole new level of appreciation for how much preparation is necessary for these lessons. Help us to use your unconditional love in our everyday lives, and especially with our co-workers and ourselves. We ask this through the power of the Holy Spirit, and in Christ's name, amen. Welcome to Broad Ministries. I'm Denny Goodall, the cool deacon. So we've saved the best for last, you know, that's to be expected. Welcome to Broad Ministries. You're listening to lesson 455 of Creator versus Creature Conflict. Welcome to a ministry designed for people who want to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to a place where you can let your guard down and build up your love for God and for everyone in your life. Now, if you're like me, you've probably let the pressures of life creep back into your mind. Like, I'm worried about my lesson not being long enough, or that my lesson won't have real impact. Will these guys be mad at me when my lesson's way better than theirs? I haven't written anything this long for 15 years, so if it is, you know, that's on them. So just push these worries aside, because the Holy Spirit teaches us that the Lord is taking care of you. You can take heart in Deuteronomy 31:7. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is with the one who goes with you. He will not fail you, nor will he forsake you. So today's study is, the Creator's unconditional love can alleviate conflicts in your career. We have been using the Creator clock to learn about our God, and recently we've made a shift to the center of the clock to focus on God's unconditional love. As Caleb calls it, 13 o'clock. Not real fond of that one yet, but it'll do. So I like to check the thesaurus to better understand the definitions of words we use to learn about God. When I looked up unconditional, I found unrestricted, total, absolute, unlimited. You see, God loves us all no matter what we have done or will do. No amount of evil deeds or time can change the extent that our God loves us. So today I want to talk about using God's unconditional love at work. We need to have unrestricted love for our coworkers, our bosses, our customers, and ultimately ourselves. I know, that sounds crazy. How could you love those jerks at work, right? Now, some of you may actually have perfect boss or coworkers, so they're easy to love. But most of us don't. I know my wife Emily has tough days teaching. When the door's closed and she's just teaching the kids, first graders, life is great. But it seems like each week she has new curriculum to learn herself and add in. And someday she comes home, she just wants to pull her hair out. So I plan to present 5 methods to help us reflect the unconditional love of God at work. My desire is that these things can relieve conflicts at work and help us enjoy work rather than despise it. I think if we can learn to love our coworkers, our bosses, and customers, then we can certainly love our family members. I know for myself, work has its good days and its bad days. Just thinking about all the issues at work makes me want to crack a beer or 7. So just so you know, when I wrote this, I was drunk with the Holy Spirit, because His mentorship is the only way to keep focus on God's unconditional love. Romans 8, 5, and 6 confirms the power we have with the Holy Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. This verse says we can have peace by setting our mind on the Spirit. But to be honest, sometimes work feels more like war than peace. It was a real struggle to write this lesson, because the more I think about my mental attitude and my actions at work, I realize I don't always have unconditional love at work either. Sometimes it's just flat out easier to be a jerk. If I were being honest, I would rather choke some of my coworkers and customers than to forgive them. My heart would rather have me punch them than love them. I jokingly call our shop the Fun Factory. I'm reminded of a quote by Drew Carey. Oh, you hate your job? Why didn't you say so? There's a support group for that. It's called Everybody, and they meet at the bar. So to give a little backstory, I work at a custom cabinet shop. Our work ranges from high-end whole house new builds, which can cost $100,000 or more, to small entertainment center remodels that cost a couple thousand dollars. I'm in a unique position at my work. I have 5% ownership in the company, but I also work right along with the side of the guys in the shop. So I'm kind of a middleman in between the owners and the workforce. I've taken on many different responsibilities, from management to production. As a shop manager, I direct labor, but I also take part in that labor. My role gives me authority over all the guys, except the 2 owners. This brings me to method number 1. Choose the company. Since I'm in the middle between the suits and the workers, it seems like I'm forced to take sides. For the longest time, I only saw 2 sides: them, the owners, and us, the workers. However, there are actually more: the owners, the workers, and the business itself make 3 sides. So when conflict arises, I take the side of the business. Choosing the business means to see all for one and one for all. This makes it simple, because if the business succeeds, we all succeed. For example, when you remodel a kitchen, it's easy for the bosses to miss a couple details. When the guys return from an install, a small detail is turned into a huge ordeal. The guys will vent their frustrations to me, and it's all too easy to pile on and bash the bosses for missing something. But this never really helps. Rather than siding with the guys, which fans the flames, or siding with the bosses, which invalidates their frustrations, I have to side with the business. I have to choose the business. So what I do is I compliment them for having the skills to make the best of a tough situation, while reminding them that our bosses are only human and can't always catch every detail. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 19, Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. One of the big implications of this, as I see it, since we're in union with Christ, we are to see them, more than anything else, not as members of this group or that group, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. And even those who are not yet in union with Christ, we're to see as souls for whom Jesus died, and individuals with whom we may potentially spend eternity together. Overall, the guys at the shop are great at getting the job done. But no matter where I've worked, there always seems to be one or two people that are like nails on a chalkboard. They just don't fit in. Our free will is a grace gift, but is also the very bane of human existence. Human nature will always create gaps in thinking and philosophy. And no matter how much we wish it wasn't, it is. So the question then becomes how to effectively deal with conflict when it arises. Is it essential? It's essential for the health and performance of a company that conflict be accepted and addressed. This brings me to method number two. Choose conflict head on. As I said, some guys just don't always fit in. I think it's just a fact of life that we can't all be great friends, but we can still be friends. We can't always prevent conflicts. It has been my experience that the secret to conflict resolution is, in fact, conflict prevention where possible. By actually seeking out areas of potential conflict and proactively intervening, you will likely prevent certain conflicts from even arising. I find that humor really helps to disrupt the tension when it does arise. When a conflict does flare up, you likely minimize its severity by dealing with it quickly. Time spent identifying and understanding natural tensions will help to avoid unnecessary conflict. One area of conflict at the Fun Factory that I've identified is cleaning our dust collector. Have you ever seen the TV show Dirty Jobs? Well, cleaning this monster could be on that show for sure. The dust collector is 2 stories tall and produces 10 to 12 50-gallon barrels of sawdust. When we take off the barrels on the bottom, the dust goes everywhere. I mean, it's not as bad as cleaning Elliot's bathroom, but you basically get coated in dust. And if you're sweaty, it's like getting tarred and feathered. I don't really have to help out, but I do. I just jump right in so the guys can't complain that not everyone is helping. And it seems some of the new guys magically disappear when we empty the sawdust. So I scream and holler like we're having a party. Woo! Yeah! Woo! This is all fun, I yell. I act like I've just been dying to empty the dust out. The guys laugh and probably think I'm crazy, which I am, but it works. We get it done, and by the end, they're all yelling, and the other guys want to be part of it. Woo! I'm reminded of Hebrews 10:24 and 25. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Everyone in our company needs encouragement, and the same goes for yours. They just want to feel part of something greater than themselves. When we invest time together, we can build the relationships and trust that create a more positive and loving culture. By being funny and loud, I become the annoying one so the guys can laugh at me rather than the new guys. So at this time, let's take a 5-minute break. And please don't fast forward through the song. Listen to this and remember to take what we know and live it out. Welcome back. Hopefully you enjoyed that simple, uplifting song that reminds us to focus on the new self and tear down the walls we construct between each other. So let's move on to method number 3. Choose gratitude. It seems like a lot of tension at work is in your own head. We highlight the mistakes of others while minimizing our own. This focus on flaws and errors of others causes us to mentally jump ship. We begin to entertain the thought that the grass is greener on the other side. I know I've had this very thought. We have one boss who's very organized, while the other is very unstructured. I like to have a clear, repeatable process for everything. So half of our work is easy to fabricate and assemble, and the other half is unclear and just downright frustrating. This drives me crazy. Why can't it all be the same? Just do it the same. Then I think the large companies must have a rigid and productive structure. I could just go there and all my worries would be gone, right? Actually, that's wrong. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Come on, Caleb, flip those pages. Meet me there. Don't meet me there. Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So the Bible says rejoice always and give thanks in everything. I'm not rejoicing if I'm ready to leave. It's amazing how the Lord works, because we've just hired a new IT guy to consolidate the designs from the two bosses. So not only has my life been made easier, but also the new guy has experience at many of the large cabinet companies that I was talking about. He has told me how crazy and unorganized these places are. We have 1/10 of the problems that they have. Just to name a few, they have unqualified personnel in key positions, as well as overbearing and unnecessary paperwork. So I wouldn't have any of my problems solved by going there. Just different problems. Different bosses that are bad. Different coworkers that are bad. So the conflict is still there. It'll never disappear. Like Elliot said, we got to take it on. Another thought I've had is, I'll show them. I'm going to leave. They need me more than I need them. While that may be true, is that really reflecting the love of God? Not really. Because there are entire families depending on my company. Leaving out of vengeance is selfish and reflects human perspective, not divine perspective. So when I have an attitude of appreciation rather than frustration, the guys can see the very love that God has for us all. This brings us to method. So when I have an attitude of appreciation rather than frustration, the guys can see the very same love that God has for us all. This brings us to method number 4. Choose discretion. This means to pick your battles and avoid conflict for the sake of conflict. Not every issue is worth fighting over. Sometimes you just have to give people the benefit of the doubt, just like you want them to do for you. However, if the issue is important enough to create a conflict, then it's surely important enough to resolve. If the issue, circumstance, or situation is important enough and there is enough at stake, people will do whatever is necessary to open a line of communication and close positional gaps. Just like Rory said, when you try to have real strict adherence to the rules, people are going to rebel. However, when you tell them the rules and give them freedom to abide, then they begin to voluntarily take part. So remember Proverbs 14:16. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. Choose your battles wisely, and people will take notice that you don't just fight over everything. They will realize that you only bring up things that really matter to the company. So moving on to the fifth and final method of using unconditional love to ease the tensions at work. Choose opportunity. Hidden within virtually every conflict is the potential for a tremendous learning opportunity. Where there is a disagreement, there is an inherent potential for growth and development. Divergent positions that are addressed properly can stimulate innovation and learning between coworkers. Smart leaders look for the upside in all differing opinions. We should use the conflict to flush out the differing opinions and use them to teach why things either work as is or why there is a need for change. Colossians 4:5 reminds us how to handle situations of conflict. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Bottom line, I believe resolution can be found with conflicts where there is a sincere desire to do so. Turning the other cheek, compromise, forgiveness, compassion, empathy, finding common ground, be an active listener, service over self, and numerous other approaches will always allow one to be successful in building relationships if the underlying desire is strong enough. I'm reminded of myself at work. I'm very strict about where things are put, and the guys get annoyed by it. So I always like a highway for everything to move through there, and they'll put stuff in the way, and they'll see me walk over and move it out of the way. And a couple of guys at work won't move anything until they see me, and then they'll move it out of the way. So they don't do it just out of their own good. They wait till I can see them, and then they do it. But we should just do things without people seeing it. You should just take care of it and get it done, not trying to get that approval from somebody else. So in closing, I hope you can use your freedom of choice to use some or all of these methods to assist you at work. Like I said in the beginning, I need to work on all these things myself. I use choice in each method because at the end of the day, you have free will to forgive and use unconditional love or not. So side with the company. Seek out areas of conflict. Appreciate your position. Pick your battles, and take advantage of teachable moments. If you can do these things, these simple things, I think you can not only have fun at work, but you can be successful and build lasting relationships. Notice it's about what we do and not what others do. So don't fear conflict, embrace it, and appreciate the perfection in tough situations, because you know your God is right there with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Day by day, our gracious God is renewing our soul and helping us to see life through His eyes. So that's why I ask God to give me your eyes. The closing song is by Brandon Heath.
Broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touch down in the coal black top, hold on for the sudden stop. Breathe in the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 busy street. See a girl and our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to her right, black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work, he's buying time. All those people going somewhere. Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Lord, give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. That I keep missing. Give me your heart.
All right, welcome back. So in closing, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is unconditional love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us the perfect tools to help us treat others well, even when they don't deserve it. Thank you for designing these tools for others and ourselves. Thank you for giving us an advocate in Christ who has felt our pain and actually applied the Word of God. I pray that you help us to live what we have learned and have peace and happiness even at work. It shouldn't take a tragedy for us to come together. I pray help and heal, that you help and heal those affected by the bombing in Boston. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening.